dialing 8th and Walton conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton conference call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm just going to come right out and say it. I appreciate you. Your boss didn't tell you that this week, or that salesperson, or that buyer that's driving you crazy didn't tell you. Oh, it's certainly not going to be the marketing person that's pushing your buttons. No, I really do appreciate you. You know why? Because you took a few minutes just to download the podcast, and you're nice enough to spend some time with me this week. I appreciate you so much. I promise we've got a great show for you today. Wonderful people coming in. You know who's coming into the studio in a few minutes? Miss Joyce Grippy from White Spider is going to come in, talk to us about how White Spider is out there supporting the supplier community with a great thing called merchandising. I was on the White Spider website a couple of weeks ago and saw the word merchandising. So Joyce is going to be here and she's going to explain exactly what this is. Also, if you've ever seen the Focus on Suppliers broadcast, which is Saturdays, KNWA at 6:30, you can also catch it on YouTube. You've seen me talk to my friend, Miss Brenda Allison from ReaderLink. We talk about what's new on the bookshelf, what's going on with print books, and what Brenda's currently reading. Well, she's actually coming in a little bit later on, and we're going to tape an upcoming Focus on Suppliers broadcast. So I thought when she gets here, I'll just run down to the studio with the old microphone, and we'll get a little extended interview for the podcast, talk a little bit more about ReaderLink, and talk about what's going on with print books. So we've got that. Oh, let me ask you this. Are you on time? Are you in full? Are you OTIF? Well, we've got some more information about OTIF. I know it's near and dear to your heart. I know you've been out there looking at your on-time, in-full scorecard, and you're just trying to get all the information that you can. So stick around. We've got more information about on-time, in-full coming up shortly. Oh, what do we need to do? Oh, you know what? I want to give some love. I'm just in a loving mood today. We need a little bit more of that in the world, don't we? Speaking of kind of giving love, you know who I want to pay some respect to? It is a group that goes largely overlooked as we're planning out our marketing dollars and our future advertising campaigns, but we cannot overlook this group anymore. This is all about the baby boomers. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, baby boomers. Yes. So the reason that I want to talk about baby boomers is because there's a new study. They've been looking at the baby boomers as a shopping block, retail analyst have, for the last few years. And I know a lot of times when you go into your marketing meeting and you're thinking about that product on the shelf and how you're going to, kind of structure your campaigns, our minds go right to the millennials, right? Millennials are it. They're the largest shopping block out there right now, generation-wise, and we've kind of got our eyes on Generation Z that's right behind them, but we can't overlook the baby boomers. Now, here's what the retail analysts have said. Baby boomers, and we're talking about shoppers between the ages of 53 and 71, are not loyal brand shoppers, and here's the reason why. Baby boomers feel overlooked and under-rewarded by brands and retailers. Here's what the report goes on to say. Most retailers will focus their year-round online and mobile marketing efforts on the millennials. They're trying to appeal to their frugalness and their post-financial crisis mindset and the fact that they're multi-device connected, right? But you can't discredit the baby boomers. I mean, almost 90% of baby boomers have a smartphone and they use it for shopping. But this is what I want you to take away. If you don't learn anything else about the beautiful boomers, here's what you need to remember. Baby boomers control 70% of the U.S.'s disposable income. That just shows how important they are to getting equal attention beyond the in-store experience. Don't forget about the boomers. Create valuable and enduring relationships with them and make sure that they are rewarded for shopping your store, shopping your brand. Baby boomers, there you go. We love you, baby boomers, and we're going to pay more attention to you. Let's get on to, oh, more fun. Oh, is it time for Joyce Grippy? We're going to talk with Joyce Grippy coming up in just a few minutes. Stick around. You are listening to the 8th and Walton Conference Call.
Hi, my name is Charles Redfield. I'm excited to talk to you today about the upcoming Trends in Technology Conference sponsored by the Walton College of Business. This year, we've got a very different conference, but I think you'll also find it very engaging and very dynamic. We've got subjects like the future landscape of retailing, the next generation shopper, and also supply chain and that last minute delivery. We've got some fantastic industry leaders to talk about those things to you. People like Jamie Iannone, President and CEO of SamsClub.com, Linda Dillman, who's a retired Chief Information Officer from QVC, and also Mark Wallace, who's a Senior Vice President of Global Engineering and Sustainability from UPS. So we've got a pure e-commerce player, an e-commerce and brick and mortar player, and also supply chain, which makes the whole entire thing work. So you're not going to want to miss this conference. It's Wednesday, April 26th at the John Q. Hammond Center here in Rogers, Arkansas, and we hope to see you there.
Joyce, thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
I want to know about White Spider. So for the supplier community, how do you weave that web in White Spider, and what do you do to support the suppliers?
Love what you did there with the weave the web. So it's White Spider. We actually have two arms of our business. We have a marketing arm where we do business B2B side. Mm-hmm. What we're focusing on right now is more helping the supplier community with their Walmart.com pages. But it's bigger than Walmart.com. It's the data and content to help that omni shopper be successful. And as Walmart looks at their strategy of where they're going in the future, suppliers really need to have their head wrapped around that this is how we move forward and how you're going to sell things with Walmart, whether it be brick and mortar, whether it be on stores, online, grocery pickup, you know, whatever avenue that is, the data is at the core of what they need.
With all the suppliers that you work with, is there one common thread, one thing that they all need help with before they come to White Spider?
When we go and we talk to a supplier, the first thing they say is, well, e-commerce is only like 2% of my sales. It's all my sales happen at brick and mortar. It's really helping them understand the strategy with Walmart. It's not just about selling in Walmart.com. It's about selling with Walmart in general. And the data and content that you use to set up items as Walmart merges their legacy system with new systems, it's really going to be able to feed all those avenues. And White Spider can help them get the right content, make sure it's optimized, searchable, and relevant to the shopper, because it's really what it's all about when it comes down to it. It's about giving the shopper what they need.
So here's the fun one. I was on the White Spider website, and I saw a great word, merchandising. I love it when we hybrid these words for the supplier. What does that mean to the supplier community?
Merchandising, it's a great word. When I first met with Eric Howerton and Alex Ahmad, and the co-founders of White Spider, they said this word, and I'm like, that is a fantastic word. I don't know what it means, but I love it. What is it? And so when you look at the omni shopper and where we're going as a shopper itself, it takes marketing and merchandising and merges the two. So your best marketing avenue is somebody else's voice. It's somebody telling your story and word of mouth. If you can get the right content and you get that right data on your SKU page and available in stores, whether I'm looking on my mobile device, I'm at my desktop, or I'm in the store and I want to scan a QR code or a UPC to get more information about the item, merchandising is the process. We even wrote a book about it. But that's the process to get that data and content where you need to be.
Joyce, you're very unique in that you've had many years on the retail side. You've had now experience, you know, on the supplier side, supporting suppliers. I would love your take on what you're excited to see in 2017 in this commerce world. What are you kind of keeping tabs on?
You know, what I've really been watching is as we go, especially with Walmart's acquisition of Jet and what they're going to do there, everybody's like, oh, the dot-com race. Well, the dot-com race is over. Like, everybody, let's be real. It's over. It's the omni shopper race now. It's about giving the shopper what they need. And I'll be really excited to watch the advancements that Walmart has as they come out and how they start to win in that area and then be right there beside them and help suppliers win that. I mean, that's White Spider's goal, is to help Walmart win in that area with the best data and content and help suppliers just sell some stuff.
And everybody right now, I'm sure, is Googling White Spider. I want to point out that it's, you put the Y's where the I's normally go. It's White Spider with the Y's.
Absolutely. It's W-H-Y-T-E-S-P-Y-D-E-R. And it's a really unique name. I love it. Like, got white for the white hat, doing the best of the best, and spiders, that's all that goes out to the internet. Crawls, e-commerce has been our game since the company was founded 6 years ago. It's what we do, and have a really good understanding of the internet and the way search engine optimization works, and making people rank and sell stuff.
Joyce, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jared. It was a pleasure.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
Welcome back to the conference call. We appreciate you hanging in with us. Oh, just when you thought it couldn't get any more fun, have I got some headlines for you today. First of all, we're going to compare and contrast Staples and Amazon. Let's look at the Staples first. Staples, they came out with their fourth quarter same store sales, and they were down about 7.4%. After announcing that, Staples was quick to say they are closing 70 stores here in North America. And the big quote was that decreasing its store count is part of Staples' plan to shift away from traditional brick-and-mortar retail. The company is looking to sell more of its business services and connect with customers online. So kind of shifting away for Staples from the brick-and-mortar and focusing more online. Here's the contrast. Amazon has confirmed that it's about to open its 10th Amazon bookstore up around Seattle. So now we have Staples focusing more online, Amazon, the online behemoth, focusing on the brick and mortar. Here's what the analysts are saying on the Amazon side. They're very happy with the stores that they've already opened so far, and Amazon is committed to becoming a physical retailer at scale. So new locations are planned for 2017. They're going to be opening up these bookstores in New Jersey, some of the suburbs of New Jersey, around New York City as well, and then some plan for Chicago. And of course, the question, why? Amazon devours bookstores. Why does the person that all of the online strategists hold the bar up to, why even consider a brick and mortar success? Here's one take. It's because the stores aren't just about selling books. They also tout the Amazon devices like their Echo and their Kindle. And also the Amazon stores are a big showcase for the Amazon Prime membership program, because Prime members do pay considerably less for books than non-members do. The industry insiders, here's the speculation. Amazon could also eventually expand its whole just walk out technology from its new Amazon Go convenience store to the Amazon book location. So there's that technology they could expand. This is going to be a fun one to kind of keep an eye on, Amazon going to the brick and mortar. We will have more as it comes out. Now, as long as we're on the subject of Amazon, we have a big announcement from Amazon.com in that they have begun to add Spanish to their site. The update is going to let the United States, more than 40 million native Spanish speakers, and of course over 10 million bilingual Spanish speakers, toggle between English and Spanish on Amazon.com. There are other Amazon sites that already offer multiple languages, like Amazon.ca in Canada, which allows their shoppers to toggle between English and French. And then you've got Amazon.de in Germany, which offers German, English, Dutch, Polish, and Turkish, but Amazon.com, available here in the United States, will begin offering a Spanish option, and that's going to be a first for us. Oh, you know what else I wanted to tell you about? Walmart has got some pretty exciting tests going on right now. Let's start with Texas. A few Walmart stores in Texas are trying out some touchscreen monitors over in their toy aisles. Here's the idea. The kids go in with their parents. They can walk over to this big touch screen and kind of flip through and try to find the exact toy they're looking for. If for some reason it's not in the store, they've got the option right there to order it online. Isn't that neat? Sort of the endless toy aisles, what they're calling it. As neat as the endless toy aisle is, here's the one that makes me happy. Walmart unveiled its new convenience store format. Please don't let this be a test. Roll this one out. I love this idea. I can't tell you how many times I pull into a Walmart store or a neighborhood market to fuel up the car. And once I do, I remember that I've got to go inside and pick up some items. So I got to drive over to the store. This new convenience store format, fantastic. Well, you know, the Walmart gas pumps, they already have kind of the little kiosk there that sells sodas and chips and candy. The new convenience store, you fuel up the car and you can walk in and get, you know, there's a hot bar like paninis, nachos, hot dogs, sausages, soft serve ice cream. They're even talking about having a walk-in cooler that's going to be stocked with, you know, domestic and imported beer, with groceries like milk and eggs, frozen meals and pizzas, all right there where you fuel up the car, all in one stop. I love this. That's what I'm excited about, Walmart testing. Please roll that one out. That's great news. The last thing we're going to talk about, OTIF, on time in full. We've got, Brenda's here? Okay. I've just been told Brenda Allison from Reader Link is making her way to our broadcast studio. We're going to tape a Focus on Suppliers. I'm going to run down there in just a few minutes. Before I do, let's get back to on time in full. This is very important. Ethan Walton's new on time in full class up and running and ready to support your team. What I wanted to let you know is who's exactly teaching this class. We've got a senior project manager that was involved in the development and rollout of GRS, and a veteran of business who's taught Walmart and Sam's Club systems and supply chain management. Each of these instructors brings 3 decades worth of experience to this class. What do you learn in the OTIF class? You're going to find out Walmart's expectations for on-time in-full shipments. You're going to find out how OTIF relates to MABD. You're going to be able to calculate an on-time in-full score and how to pull and navigate that OTIF scorecard, plus so much more. If you want to learn more, go to ethanwalton.com/OTIF, or you can just go to ethanwalton.com and check out the course catalog if you need more information, if you want to sign up. And from right there, you can even ask questions about each class. Okay, I've got to run down to the studio and catch up with Miss Brenda Allison. Emma, do we have any, give me a little OTIF music. Do we have like an on time in full? There we go. Now I'm dancing.
OTIF.
On time in full means
OTIF.
You will ship it in full. It will get there on time. If it don't, you'll incur a fine.
Check, check, 1, 2. We are here before the show. Focus on Suppliers. Brenda Allison and I are actually just getting our makeup done and all the lights ready before we go on. Great to see you again, Brenda.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You've been here with Reader Link many times, and we only get a couple of minutes on the show, but now that we've got some more time, will you tell us a little bit about Reader Link?
Oh, sure. We are the largest book distributor in America. We distribute books to stores that are not bookstores, so mass merchandisers, grocery stores, drugstores, clubs. I work here in Bentonville, so obviously I work on the Walmart account.
One thing that I absolutely love about print books is you see all kinds of other media that have sort of gone the way of digital, movies, music. Print books have held their own, and it seems like they were going digital, but that's really changed in the last couple of years.
That's exactly right. So I first started in books in 2010. That was kind of at the advent of the e-reader, and everyone was concerned that it was going to go the way of music and movies and go digital. And we saw a lot of growth in e-books in 2009, 10, 11, and after that, they really slowed down. And this is the year with the smallest sales of e-books ever. What percentage would you guess the e-books make up of book sales?
I'll take a wild guess, 25%.
It's actually about 17%, and actually diminishing every day. Obviously, kids' books, there's a great demand for print books. Parents like to have that experience sitting with a kid. And then just adult books, people find that they enjoy the experience of reading a print book more than they enjoy an ebook. And, you know, the problem with music and movies is they weren't portable before. Well, books have always been portable in their regular print form. So, you know, it doesn't make a difference. You can always take a book with you.
I always love how a lot of books seem to make a comeback, and really maybe not even a comeback, but around Christmas, Night Before Christmas will sell, and just all the other, you know, very seasonal things. Is there a peak time for books because they're such great gifts?
Yeah. So books are definitely a seasonal business, especially, again, kids books, because people like buying kids books as gifts. As a mom, I definitely do. So Easter, Halloween, Valentine's Day, and obviously the Big Daddy Christmas. And both Easter and Christmas are also kind of peaks for adult books as well, because people are looking for gifts and books make great gifts.
And we've got spring break coming up. We've got people planning their vacations this summer. I want to read something on the plane, or I don't want to listen to my kids in the car. Give me one or two things I need to be on the lookout for to really pass the time and relax.
Absolutely. That's a great question. So, you know, we always know during the summertime, moms are looking for a way. I've got all this time. I need to entertain my kids and also keep them from the summer slump, losing what they learned in school during the summer. So we've got workbooks, activity books, things that are great in the car or no matter where you're going. And then for adults, obviously, always a good read, a good page turner is great. And there's some great stuff coming this summer. John Grisham has a new book this summer. He usually only has one book a year, but he has two this year. And so one's coming in the summer, and that's exciting.
Fantastic. They're giving us the cue sign. We're about to go on the air. Thank you so much, Brenda.
Thanks for having me.
All right, roll the tape.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of Ethan Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at ethanwalton.com. Ethan Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that Ethan Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.